on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, a very good Wednesday. We welcome everybody back. It's another edition of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Appreciate everybody tuning in once again here this week. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, the host as always. And, well, man, Colorado State basketball, man, how much fun has this season been? The Rams continue to roll. They beat Boise State on Sunday in OT, 77-74. Rams now go to 20-3 on the season. They're 10-3 in the conference and right back in the conference championship race. So we'll talk some hoops, obviously, on the program. We'll hear some post-game comments from head coach Nico Medved following that Boise State win. Also hear from Chandler Jacobs, who was flat-out sensational in the game against Boise State. Good to see Chandler kind of get back going. He had been in a little bit of a lull, but, man, he is back, and he was fantastic on Sunday afternoon. So we'll play those two post-game radio interviews that followed that Boise State game. Also, later on in the program, we'll talk to Chris Woodard. He's the 11th-year head coach of Colorado State Swimming and Diving. Rams are down in College Station, Texas for the Mountain West Conference Championships here this week. In fact, they start today, and the Rams swimming and diving team went a perfect 14-0 in the dual season here this year. First perfect season in the past 21 years for the CSU swimming program. So we'll talk to Chris about the season and about what's expected coming up here at the Mountain West Conference Swimming and Diving Championships. Again, that's being held down in Texas. All right, before we get to the hoops, I do want to check in on some of the other sports at Colorado State. And the softball season is now officially underway. That's always good to see. Number one, I like softball, and I like watching Jen Fisher's club play. But, of course, that means that we're inching towards spring. The weather starting to get a little bit warmer. But softball team goes 16-20 last season. They were 10-11 in Mountain West Conference play and got the season started in Fullerton, California last weekend. It was the first tournament of the season. Of course, the Rams, obviously playing softball in the state of Colorado, they play a majority of their games in February and a little bit into March. On the road before they start hosting any home games. Then, of course, the conference season starts coming up in April. But season started in Fullerton this last weekend. Rams go 1-4, but that doesn't really tell you the whole story. Rams suffered 3 one-run losses in that tournament, including a 2-1 setback in 9 innings to Cal. The Rams did get a win over Dixie State 12-0, a game called after 5 innings due to the mercy rule. But 1-4 in the season, but right there, and they're going to be on the road down in Denton, Texas, just north of Dallas for the Tracy Beard Classic coming up this weekend. They're going to be in Phoenix the week after that. So Jen Fisher on my radar for the Colorado State Insider podcast. We'll hook up with Jen maybe next week and kind of get a preview of the season and who to watch out for the Colorado State softball team. All right, women's basketball going strong as well. 16-7 on the season, 7-6 overall. They're coming off a win on Saturday at San Jose State, 84-70, and the Rams get the season sweep of the Spartans. It was a game in which CSU led most of the way. They had the lead as high as 12 points in the second half, but hey, San Jose State playing at home made a run, cut it to a 3-point game with 6 minutes left, but CSU answered with a 6-0 spurt, and they would eventually win by 14 points to pick up their 16th win of the season. But a couple of numbers really stand out from that game for Ryan Williams' team. How about this? Colorado State, from the free throw line of that game, they went 30 of 31. It was the second best field goal percentage in school history. Obviously, the Rams have shot 100% from the free throw line in a game. But man, I mean, 30 of 31 to only miss one free throw when you attempt 31 is simply amazing. And one other note that sticks out, McKenna Hofshield. I mean, the point guard has been brilliant all season long for Colorado State. She hit for a career-high 32 in the victory against San Jose State, dished out 7 assists as well. She is on target to break the single-season assist record at Colorado State. And again, the Rams get 32 from McKenna, and they win it 84-70. Up next, coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, Moby Arena, the Pink Out against Wyoming. And it's strange to think about this. There's only 5 regular season games left, and the Colorado State women have not played Wyoming yet here this season. Rams and the Cowgirls are going to play two times in the final five games here this season, and they're going to be big, big games. You start looking at the Mountain West Conference tournament that starts on March the 6th, I believe, Sunday, March the 6th. But the Rams right now sitting in a tie for fifth place with Air Force. They're both at 7-6. Now, Air Force swept CSU this year, so the Falcons, they would have the tiebreaker over CSU. But as we all know, the way the Mountain West Conference tournament bracket is set up, the top five seeds in the tournament get a bye. You don't have to play that first game. You go right to the quarterfinals. And so that's why that fifth place threshold is so key. So Rams tied for fifth in the Mountain West with Air Force at 7-6. And again, they're not going to win the tiebreaker on that. Wyoming is just ahead of them at 8-5 on the season. So that is going to be absolutely massive to play Wyoming twice, a team that's ahead of you in the standings as the Rams try to scratch and claw and get into a top five seed. That means you get a bye, that those play-in games on Sunday, March 6th, and you go right to the quarterfinals on Monday, March 7th. So I think I got the dates right there. Yeah, Monday, March 7th. And yeah, who knows? You get into the conference tournament and you roll the dice and you see what happens. UNLV on the women's side, by the way, 12-1 in the season. They look like they're on their way to a regular season conference championship. New Mexico, Ryan Williams calls the most talented team in the conference. They sit at 11-3. Nevada's at 9-4. The Rams already own a win against Nevada this year. They'll play them one more time here down the stretch. And then, again, we mentioned Wyoming at 8-5, and then CSU and Air Force sitting there tied at 7-6. So, again, pink out Wyoming, Colorado State women's hoops tomorrow night at Moby Arena. Head on out for that one. 6 p.m. will be the tip-off. All right, well, the Colorado State men's basketball team, we're set to fly out later on this afternoon, heading down to Albuquerque, and it's going to be a two-game road trip for CSU. Of course, the Rams and the Lobos meeting at the Pit coming up tomorrow night, a game that was originally scheduled for December the 28th. Of course, Rams had some COVID issues around the holidays. That game got postponed and it got rescheduled for tomorrow night, and then the Rams will play their regularly scheduled game at UNLV on Saturday at the Tom Thomas and Mack Center at 6 p.m. It'll be the second and third straight games on the road. Of course, the Rams were on the road this Sunday, and what a victory it was over Boise State. Rams get the overtime win, 77-74, to go to 20-3 on the season and to pull within a half game of Boise State in those conference standings. And I mean, I cannot overstate how big of a win that was for Colorado State, not just in the conference standings, because with Wyoming losing at New Mexico last night, we'll get to that here in a second, but the Rams are a half game out of first place. You have Wyoming at 10-2, Boise State at 10-2, and then the Rams a half game back sitting at 10-3, but not just the Mountain West Conference standings, but what that does for Colorado State when you look at the NCAA tournament. It's a quad one win for CSU. It's a road win in conference. And that's going to go a long, long way when deciding if the Rams are going to go to the NCAA tournament. There's still work to do, but CSU looks like they're in really, really good shape. You start taking a look at the net rankings, and Colorado State has vaulted up in those net rankings, now sitting at 26 as of this morning on Wednesday, February the 16th. Now, of course, listen, the net rankings can really, really fluctuate. And sometimes you look at them and you can drive yourself crazy because one day you're sitting at 26 and then the next day you're at 31 by no doing of your own, by just what's happening around college basketball with the teams you've already played here this year. So it changes quickly. But right now, CSU sitting at 26. Wyoming losing last night at New Mexico, they fell to 34. Just 2 days ago, Wyoming was at 25. Boise State's at 41. They began Sunday before they played CSU at 34. So they have since dropped seven spots. And then San Diego State sitting at 44. But the Rams get the victory on Sunday. And man, what a highly entertaining game. Both teams played very, very well. There were not a lot of fouls called. Obviously, there was a bit of an officiating snafu down the stretch that really, at the end of the day, didn't factor into what happened. I know some Boise State fans wanted a foul against Isaiah Stevens with under 2 seconds to go. But the game was very well officiated. That type of bump That type of foul had not been called the entire contest, and I don't Boise State fans begging for a loose ball foul 75 feet away from the basket with under 2 seconds to go in a tie game. The officials aren't going to call that, nor should they. But other than that, the game I thought was really, really well officiated. In fact, Colorado State and Boise State only combined for 26 fouls in the game. But with the officiating, I thought it was good. Colorado State brought their A game. Boise State brought their A game. And it just made for a great, great college basketball game. Of course, CSU went on an early 16-0 run in that game. They were up 23-10. It looked like CSU may take complete control of that game early on. At Boise State, they went on a 17-3 run. Back and forth we'd go, 39-37 at the intermission. Then into the second half, Boise State took a 57-50 lead. And you started to think to yourself, whoa. You know, Broncos might be starting to pull away with this thing. The crowd was energetic. They were into the game, but CSU always had an answer. Rams came back, took the lead, and again, we would eventually go into overtime on just a tough, tough three from Marcus Shaver Jr. with 8 seconds to go. I mean, he's been doing it all season long for Boise State, hitting massive shots in the closing seconds of games or in overtimes. And that was a massive shot. I mean, it was another clutch bucket from Marcus Shaver Jr. But Rams would outscore Boise State 10-7 in the extra session. They would win it 77-74. Mentioned earlier in the podcast that Chandler Jacobs was sensational in the contest. Jacobs goes for 16 points, 7 rebounds as well. He was 5 of 8 from the floor, hit crucial free throws, knocked down a couple of threes as well. We're going to hear from Chandler in our post-game conversation with him in just a moment. But first, well, let's hear how Nico Medved viewed the contest and hear from the fourth-year head coach for Colorado State following the 77-74 overtime win at Boise. Nico, congratulations. We were just talking a moment ago before we came back on air, and you know, look, we've seen Wyoming get close wins. I mean, Boise's really gotten a lot of these close wins, and it was the Rams' turn tonight to get one of those close wins when you talk about the margin of error in this conference being so, so thin.
Yeah, you know, you figure you come out, you never know how these games are going to go. Obviously, we jumped on them. They came back at us. But, you know, realistically, you're like, hey, we got to find a way to get to the last 3 minutes and see if we can steal it in the last 3 minutes. And we almost did in regulation. Yep. You know, that's a heck of a team. And Marcus Shaver, I thought, made an unbelievable shot. I thought we defended it about as well as you could, and that's what they do. And but our guys never flinched, man. They just kept making plays. And Chandler Jacobs was just a monster. You know, we went smaller there at the end, and he helped us on the glass, slashing to the basket. And what a win. I'm so proud of these guys for battling the way they did, and to come out here and win like that on the road on you know, quick turnaround is just remarkable.
Yeah, third game in 6 days for Colorado State. Didn't faze them here tonight. And to talk about Jacobs, you know, Chandler, like any player, I mean, you're going to have your ups and downs throughout the course of the year. He's seen his minutes kind of go down the last 2-3 games. But, you know, how do you keep guys confident even when things aren't going their way? Just trying to tell him, look, we're going to need you at some point here. And obviously Chandler was ready to go when his number was called today.
Yeah, just, you know, stay with it. It's what we preach is the team together, and we've got a deep team, and on different nights it can be different guys, you know, that step up, and today it was him. And but it takes you mentally staying with it, and he's done that, and again came out today, and we don't win this game without him. And how about the big free throws, too? You know, 4 straight free throws. We only shot 11, but we made all of them. And all those plays were huge. And but I thought on the defensive end, you know, I thought we had one lapse there in the second half where we just were not fighting and scrapping and, you know, call a timeout. And maybe had some things to say I wouldn't repeat, you know, on air. But like this team always does, they responded. And I thought, like you mentioned, his play right there of knocking the ball loose and creating a turnover. And those are the plays that you got to have to win in these kind of environments.
All right. Take us through the final 8 seconds of the game, because it was confusing from my vantage point here. You know, Isaiah Stevens, you guys get the ball, ball knocked out of his hands, looks like it's going out of bounds. What did the officials tell you? Because you eventually came up and told us inadvertent whistle at that point, but what happened there?
I don't know for sure. You know, there was a lot of confusion. Right. I thought for sure he had stepped out of bounds and there was no foul, I thought it was going to be our ball. So we had drawn up a side out there with 1.6 seconds left to try to get a shot because we thought, all right, we're going to have the last shot. And then all of a sudden we came out of the timeout and they're pointing the other way and we're like, what is going on here? And then one official came over and said, well, they had called to ask for a timeout. Well, they didn't have any timeouts. I'm like, well, that should be a technical foul. And then, I don't know. It was very confusing the way that it worked out. But again, you know, at some point you got to get over that, and it's not about that, and you got to move on. And we got to stop there. Kijab got a shot that came up short. We defended it well, and then we just made a few more plays than they did in overtime.
Again, I thought the officiating, for the most part, was really good here tonight. And then, obviously, a little flub there. But in the end, the Rams get the victory. You were able to keep them, though, off the glass, Nico, which was the big, big point of emphasis for your ball club. You mentioned the one little point there where you didn't. But, man, your guys battled out there, keeping them off the window.
Yeah, I think that this is a team that dominates the paint, and they dominate the offensive glass. And, you know, Harmush is a monster in there. Now, they shot the three really well, and they've got good shooters, but I thought us sticking with it and really, you know, kind of taking away their post-up offense that way and doing a pretty good job of, you know, keeping the ball off the paint. You know, we got to do better at closing out to the guys and staying under control. And but, you know, they've got really good players, and they're difficult to guard, and we are too. And, again, these games, two teams going at it with so much on the line, it's going to come down to the last 3 minutes, and it did today. And I'm just proud of our guys for making enough plays to get it done.
Well, I know what your motto is. You win this, enjoy it. It'll be a great flight home here tonight. And then, boy, you got to just get right back to work coming up tomorrow. I mean, win or lose here today, you enjoy the win. You brood over a loss if it was, but you just always in this conference got to turn the page.
You just got to turn the page, and you got to go, and we got to go down to New Mexico on Thursday, and then I think we go right to UNLV on Saturday, and so it's that stretch run, and just keep focused, keep getting better, and take care of yourself, and stay focused and as fresh as you can, and go, but make no mistake, this was a big win for the Rams here today.
It was absolutely huge. Congrats, go enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right, that's head coach Nico Medved following the Boise State win. And as I mentioned, Colorado State does not win that game without Chandler Jacobs. 16 points in the game, and Jacobs was a happy camper following the victory. All right, Chandler, man, that had to feel good. Tell me what the locker room was like following that thing.
Man, after the game, you know, me personally, I was just speechless. I was just like, man, that's a big-time win. But the locker room was hype, obviously, people yelling, screaming. You know, to come into Boise, a great team, get a single overtime win by three, like, that's huge. So we're on top of the world right now.
You know, coming from Division II to Division I, there's going to be ups and downs here this season. There's been some high points. There's been some other points where you know, maybe you're hoping you're playing better. But how do you keep yourself ready to go when your number's called like it was tonight?
I think, I think the duration of the season, you know, I feel like my individual performance has been a bit up and down and inconsistent at times. But I think, you know, I've been talking to the coaches a lot lately, and it's really just about feeling like myself again. And that's, you know, making plays on both ends of the court, you know, being an impact guy, whether I'm coming off the bench or whether I'm starting. So today was really just about – that was my main focus. I just kept telling myself that, just be yourself, and it just worked out for me today.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys might come in with some heavy legs with the third game in 6 days. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, Coach Medved talking to the team this morning at the team hotel saying, hey, look, that's a built-in excuse for you guys. Mm-hmm. If you want to use that, go ahead. I mean, you can lose this game and say, well, third game in 6 days. But he said, uh-uh. No. It doesn't mean anything. We got to go out there and play our best game of the year.
Exactly. I love that he said that, too, and that he kind of comes from that kind of perspective, because that's really what it's about. You know, we don't care that it's our third game in 6 days, you know. And, you know, when we first got out here and got to stretching, I'm sure everybody's legs were hurting and all that kind of stuff. But we're competitors, you know. We want to play the game, and we're lucky to be playing another game, you know. So you can't take that for granted.
All right. Tell us about the second half and your performance and how you were able to do what you did. Because we know you need to be hitting the glass for CSU, and you certainly did that. But, man, you were able to get into the paint on some drives as well.
Yeah. You know, I think it was just about taking what the defense gave me, and genuinely, my main focus today was just to kind of get back to myself. And that's just somebody that's aggressive, that attacks opportunities when they come, you know, driving, whether that's shooting off a kick out, whatever the case may be, making a play for a teammate, a rebound, So today, that was my focus, just be myself and be aggressive and let the rest kind of play itself out.
Knock down two threes as well. Always good to see that three go down.
It's so crazy. I've always been a good shooter. You know, I've always shot 45% for my career.
Right.
And this year, I just cannot seem to buy a shot. But, you know, me and Ali been working after practice extra, so we'll get it together.
Yeah, no question about that. All right. Well, hey, look, you get a little bit of rest here. You can fly home tonight and then right back on an airplane on Wednesday. You're going to be at New Mexico and that UNLV, and I know there's no rest for the weary, is there?
Not at all. No, sir, man. No, sir.
Hey, congratulations, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Chandler Jacobs had 16 points in the contest in the 77-74 overtime win against Boise State. And how about this? You know, Chandler's kind of been on a bit of a lull shooting. He has seen some of his playing time go down as well. And we talked about that a moment ago. You just heard it. But that was the first time that Jacobs had scored in double figures since January 25th against Nevada. He had 14 in that game. Since then, Jacobs has been scoreless, had 2 at Nevada, 2 against San Diego State, 5 against Wyoming, 3 against UNLV. So it was great to see Chandler get a bounce back game. Rams certainly can use his rebounding from the guard position. CSU certainly can use his perimeter defensive abilities as well. But then you add on the fact that he certainly is a capable scorer, averaged over 20 points a game last year at Dallas Baptist, and you know that dude can fill it up. And man, he was really good. Again, the Rams don't win that game at Boise State without Chandler Jacobs. All right, so now we look ahead. Rams are going to fly to Albuquerque later today and take on New Mexico coming up tomorrow night. Lobos sitting at 11-14 on the season. They're 3-8 Mountain West Conference play. And again, the big news from last night of the Mountain West Conference, they beat Wyoming down at the Pit 75-66. And don't look now, the Lobos, they have won 3 straight games. Now, one of those 3 games was against an NAIA school last weekend, but they went on the road, they beat Air Force, and of course, last night, the victory against Wyoming. And it just goes to show, and not that we didn't know this before, but a trip to New Mexico is a possible landmine for the good teams in the Mountain West Conference. New Mexico is good enough to beat anybody in the conference down at the Pit. Wyoming found that out last night. And I know Colorado State, even before that Wyoming loss, certainly understood what awaits them coming up on Thursday night at the Pit. And they better bring it if they want to escape the Pit with a win. But the Wyoming game kind of highlights that from last night. How about Jalen House for Wyoming? He goes for 34 last night, had 6 assists, and Jalen House, I mean, talking about a kid that is starting to turn it on. Again, his dad, Eddie House, played in the NBA. He's the all-time leading scorer at Arizona State. Jalen started his collegiate career at ASU and then transferred to New Mexico here this season. He went for 42 at Air Force last week on 15 of 22 from the floor, knocked down 4 threes. He hit 4 threes again last night. He has been playing lights out. Of course, you have Jamal Mashburn Jr. as well. So it'll be a tough, tough game coming up tomorrow night for Colorado State. Now, it will be the second meeting of the season, and Rams needed everything they had to beat New Mexico in the first matchup at Moby Arena. Rams won at 80-74 back in January. Neither team led by more than 10 points in the game. In fact, the Rams had a 10-point lead early on in the second half. They were up 46-36. But all of a sudden, Lobos came storming back, an 11-0 run. It would be a back-and-forth game after that. And again, CSU was able to close out with a 6-point victory. If you remember that contest, New Mexico, boy, they had a barrage of threes. They hit 14 threes in the game. And speaking of Jalen House, he was pretty good. Had 18 in the contest. Rams got 21 from David Roddy. So, game number 2 of the season, Rams and the Lobos from the Pit between those two teams coming up tomorrow night. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off. It'll be on the Mountain West Network. Of course, you can hear the radio call with myself and Adam Nygon across the Colorado State Sports Network and on the Varsity app. Then it's on to Vegas Saturday night. Rebels and the Rams. It'll be game number 2 of their season series as well. Of course, we remember UNLV stunning CSU a few weeks ago in front of a sold-out Moby Arena crowd, 88-74. Rams were ranked 22nd in the nation that night. UNLV led by 18 at the half. They were up 43-25. CSU never got it below 11 points in the second half. And, of course, the story was Bryce Hamilton. Went for 42 points in that game, hit 7 threes in the contest, went to the free throw line 14 times. Rebels hit 12 threes in that contest. So, look, Rams have an opportunity for redemption against UNLV on Saturday night. But at New Mexico, at UNLV, two tough games that'll be on the road. And in the eyes of the selection committee, these are games you need to win if you're Colorado State. Neither one of these two teams have great metrics. You're expected to win. You're going to be favored certainly at New Mexico. It'll be interesting to see what the line is for that UNLV game. I mean, the Rams are going to be favored going into that contest. But, you know, I wonder what that line's going to look like on Saturday night just based on the fact that UNLV has been playing better. They have Bryce Hamilton who could single-handedly win a basketball game for you. And, of course, what happened at Moby Arena back on January the 28th when the Rams got beat by 14. But two massive games. Again, they're all big down the stretch. I mean, let's call it what it is. But two very, very big road games. And, of course, you know, the Rams got the big road win at Nevada, a game in which they were favored, were expected to win last week. Rams got the job done there. Can they keep it going on the road? CSU, 4-2 away from Moby Arena here this season. Then they'll return home a week from today. Wyoming comes to Moby Arena, game number two of that contest. And how about this? The game is already sold out. The Boise State game to close out the season on Saturday, March 5th, that's nearing a sellout as well. It's going to be sold out by the time that game arrives. So that means Colorado State will have sold out their final five home games of the season. Absolutely spectacular effort by the Colorado State Ram community. And of course, the student section has been lights out all season long. So again, hitting the stretch run, you got a road game at Utah State, home game against Wyoming, home game against Boise State, all following the two-game road trip at New Mexico tomorrow at UNLV on Saturday. Fun times to be a Colorado State men's basketball fan. All right, we're going to wrap up the show with some swimming and diving news. And boy, what a season it's been for Chris Woodard and the Colorado State women's swimming and diving team. Rams perfection here this season. 14-0 in the dual season. First perfect season in the past 21 years for the CSU swimming and diving program. And well, the Rams had 62 personal bests this year by the returning swimmers. And 18 of those performances landed those swimmers into the program's top 10 lists. Plus, oh yeah, well, we got to mention this. Rams won their duel at Wyoming back in November, marking the first time in 12 years that Colorado State has knocked off the Cowgirls in the sport of swimming. And you look at what they've been able to do here this season. Again, 14-0 in the dual season. They've had to overcome some issues as well here this season. How about this? This season, the Moby pool was shut down for a month with pump issues. So the Rams had to move over to the Glenn Morris Fieldhouse, South College Gymnasium. There's a pool there. It's got water for sure, but boy, it's much shorter. It's just a 30-meter facility. There's no starting blocks, yada, yada, yada. You just go right down the list. But the team has been back at Moby for the last month, finalizing their training for the Mountain West Conference Championships that begin this week in College Station. Now, not just the Moby pool that presented some issues for Colorado State this year. COVID did as well. A training trip and two duels in January out in California. They were canceled due to COVID protocols on other teams. Rams also lost a duel with UNC back on January 29th. And, well, CSU has had a few COVID issues within their swimming program. And that particularly is damaging in the sport of swimming when, well, when you test positive for COVID, you've got to sit out for 2 weeks in the pool. That means your training just gets completely derailed. And the Rams have had some of their top swimmers that have had to sit out for 2 weeks before they could get back into a pool, which makes a major impact on in what happens when you get to the end of the season, as we are now with the Mountain West Conference Championships. Top swimmers this year, the captain, Christina Friedrichs, a four-time All-Mountain West selection. She has been really good here this year. And then, boy, some pretty good freshmen this year as well, including Maya White, the distance freestyler. She has been as good as any freshman swimmer here this season in the Mountain West Conference. Then you look at the diving board. Freshman Lindsay Gizzi set a school record down at Air Force back on January 22nd, scoring 335 points on the 1 meter springboard, smashing the record set by Skylar Williams, a mark of 313 points at the Mountain West Conference Championships 2 years ago. So freshmen scoring a lot of points for Colorado State here this season. All right, had a chance yesterday to sit down with the head swimming and diving coach at Colorado State, Chris Woodard, who, of course, most of us know him as Woody. All right, Woody, thanks for taking a couple of minutes out of your schedule down there in Texas. Great to have you on the podcast. And, man, what a season it has been. And we just went through all the superlatives of the season as you guys get set for the Mountain West Conference Championships. But kind of take a look back at the season that was and kind of capture for us what it has been like.
I think a culmination of the work that we've done over the past 3 or 4 years as a staff in terms of recruiting, instruction and a whole lot of team bonding, which was difficult during the pandemic. But I think our team's forged greater bonds and greater resiliency than maybe we've seen in past iterations.
So at the start of the season, if I told you were going to go undefeated in duels, what would you say?
Thanks for being a really positive guy and a great friend. I don't think I was skeptical of the talent or the ability of the team. I think I would have been more skeptical that, okay, we're not going to run into someone that was potentially a buzzsaw for us. So I'm grateful and lucky, but you know, as we always say, fortune favors the bold. So we got lucky for a reason.
Indeed. Well, you know, if you're going to go 14-0 on a season, obviously there's going to have to be some unexpected surprises. Tell Ram fans maybe what one or two of the surprises here that have helped you guys to such a fantastic season.
You know, I think we knew what our freshmen are capable of, but honestly, right, they were all in their senior year in the middle of a pandemic, so we didn't have a lot of tangible results to know exactly what their impact was going to be. So all of our freshmen have had an amazing impact across the board, headed into the conference with, you know, arguably a conference finalist in the 400 IM, the mile, on our diving boards, a school record, and then with the number one distance swimmer in the conference in Maya White. I think that on one side was a huge, huge asset and a huge reason that we had success, and maybe not necessarily unexpected, but maybe a little bit more than we thought we were capable of. And on the other side, really great veteran leadership. They coalesced really well in our senior class and some of our juniors as well. And maybe the difference was moving Christina Friedrichs to that 100 fly. She still has a 200 free and she's still going to help us there, but that 100 fly has been a godsend. She has come through for us time and time again.
Yeah, Christina, four-year All-Mountain West Conference selection team captain as well. I wanted to go back to the freshman and talk about Lindsay. Is it Gizzy, your diver? Okay. School record at Air Force last month. And kind of talk about that because she didn't just break the school record. She shattered the school record in the 1 meter springboard.
You know, I think more than anything, and she has an amazing amount of talent. She tops out very well on her dives and she enters super, super clean. She just knows how to handle herself. But it's more her confidence. Her confidence is sky high. I don't think there's anything that she doesn't think she's capable on the boards. And that helps. She's a competitor.
So you have some freshmen that you are hoping to score some points for you here this week at the conference championships. How does their mindset change as a freshman who's never been in a situation like this before? And obviously these freshmen have swam in a ton of meets, ton of big meets throughout their junior careers and into high school. But, you know, this is a pretty big deal. Is it something that should translate into the conference championships, or is that kind of an X factor?
You know, it should, but it can be an X factor because, right, we're coaching all new kids, and some of them have never gone through a taper phase or a championship phase at this level. And so we're always managing the personalities and the anxieties, as well as trying to instruct them on the proper way to prepare for this. So, you know, I think they'll be able to handle it. I think we have the utmost confidence in them. They haven't shown a point in the season where they really fell off or felt like, ooh, I'm not sure I can do what coach is asking of me here. They've delivered every single time. So our expectation is, yep, they're just going to deliver on a bigger stage.
All right, want to continue to talk about some of the highlights of the season. Again, 14-0 in dual meets, but one of those dual meet wins came against Wyoming back in November, and it was the first time in 12 years that CSU has defeated Wyoming. What was that like?
A relief, quite frankly. From my standpoint, I mean, obviously having coach under John and having great respect for him and his program and what he established here and all those teams that came prior was, it was more relief that finally our team started to believe in themselves. I think it had become a bit of our Achilles heel. We tended to overanalyze. We wouldn't show up at the right time. We were a little bit deer in headlights when we got up there. And for the first time, I think this team realized, okay, no, this is, it's another meet just like any other. They're a great conference rival and they are fierce competitors, but we can go toe to toe with just about anyone.
All right, before we get to talking about the conference championships here this week, you know, you guys have had to go through a lot of adversity here this season. And of course, you know, COVID still around, and you had a training trip out in California that got canceled, a pair of duels in California that got canceled. But not just COVID issues for you guys. Moby Pool was shut down for a month this year with pump issues. You guys had to go to the Glenn Morris Fieldhouse, South College Gymnasium. And I mean, look, that's not an easy thing to deal with.
Yes. Hats off to all of our facilities people and admin that rallied around us quickly to get that problem solved. I can't pretend it wasn't a small deal. We went from the oldest pool in the Mountain West to arguably one of the oldest facilities in the entire nation. all respect and love for South College Gym, but swimming, going from 25 yards to 30 yards to not really having flags, no starting block, no quick turns, a shallow pool at one end, no video review, all that stuff on our swim side definitely impacted us. And our divers were displaced as well. They were across town at Epic. And those boards aren't up to our code as well. They're about 6 inches short. So we were making do in a long pool and a short board for longer than we wanted to. But again, hats off to them. They didn't let that deter them. I think they had a pity party for about 12 hours, and then it was over.
Yeah, again, Moby Pool shut down for about a month here this season. All right, a couple of final thoughts before we let you go. Obviously, what happened last year down at the conference championships in Vegas, you guys scored a school record, 925 points. You got contributions from just about everybody. Can that serve as a springboard into this year's conference championships? Can you guys draw upon the success that you had last year and apply it here to this season?
You know, I think the acknowledgement is that with all due respect to our seniors last year, is that we might be even an even more complete team than we were in previous years, which is really saying something, because we've now had 2 years where every person that we've scored at conference has scored a point. We haven't had anyone on the sideline. So I think they tend to believe that like everybody's a player. They don't just sit back and wait for the top dogs to really pop off and then kind of gain confidence and momentum for that. I think every single person is expecting like, here's what I need to do to contribute. And when we get into that position, that's pretty powerful. So I hope that carries over into this year. We're expecting it to carry over, and we'll just see how the points fall.
All right, give Ram fans an idea of some of the swimmers and divers that you're expecting to get you some points here this week. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Christine Friedrichs, who's your team captain. Maya White, the freshman, has been really good. Who are some of those kids you're really, really counting on this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our studs, Christina and Maya, kind of lead the way. Lindsay on the boards is going to be hard to stop as well. But I think there's a plethora of kids. Maisie Barbosa, Emily Corpening, two of our freshmen who are highly ranked in the conference as well. And then we've got a pretty talented group of sophomores and juniors. And our seniors are going to point total in probably two or three of their events as well. So it's hard to say exactly who's going to really take off at this point. I know our leader's going to step out in front, but if I was a team in the conference, I wouldn't sleep on our relays and I wouldn't sleep on our depth. We're going to have a good amount of scorers here.
All right, Woody, always appreciate the time, man. What a fantastic season. Certainly one for the record books for Colorado State Swimming and Diving. And hopefully the fun continues here this week. Best of luck.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian. Go Rams.
All right, there he goes, Chris Woodard, the head swimming and diving coach here at Colorado State. That's going to conclude the podcast here this week. Appreciate everybody tuning in. And again, boy, what an opportunity for Colorado State men's basketball coming up here this week. Two big road games at New Mexico, on the road at UNLV on Saturday. And then don't forget about Ryan Williams and the women. Pink out tomorrow night against Wyoming. Get out to Moby Arena. Support the Colorado State women's basketball program. That'll be a 6 p.m. tip-off. All right, for Chris Woodard and Nico Medved, Chandler Jacobs, Brian Roth saying so long, and thanks for tuning in to the Colorado State Insider Podcast.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.